Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Congratulations. And you're going to get smarter, too, and really smarter this time, especially, because our good friend Judith Glaser is with us, ladies and gentlemen. She's the author of a number of books, including The DNA of Leadership. She is one of our top leadership experts and just one of the smartest people I know. Never mind man or woman, one of the smartest people I know. But especially today, because she wants to talk to us about five brains. Judy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Great to be back. And you're hitting my favorite topic.
It's good. It's good to have you back. You know, I've been accused of not having a brain, Judy, and now you're saying that maybe we have five brains?
Yeah. In fact, I think if you look under the surface...
Even talk show hosts?
If people tell you you don't have a brain, what's going on? Your five brains are really active, and you don't know which one to listen to.
Wow. Yeah. So talk to us about the five brains. Give us a real quick sort of tick them off there for us with a one sentence explanation, and then let's talk about them.
Okay. So here's the roadmap for the brains. Until recently, we thought that there were only three brains, and I'm saying we, meaning in 1969, a neuroscientist named McLean identified three brains that all of us listening will relate to. The first is the reptilian brain. The reptilian brain is the brain that came from our animal, if you believe in evolution, our animal heritage that teaches us... Well, that's a hot topic today in politics, right?
We just lost half our audience there, Judy.
Whether you do or don't, the metaphor is...
Even if you don't, folks, just keep listening. Go ahead.
Keep listening. So it's the part of the brain that's hardwired to teach us about threats. So if somebody's taking away our food or running after us or trying to kill us, that part of our brain is active, and it gives us fight, flight, or freeze. That gets translated into business when people are angry with each other, don't talk. Okay. The next brain is the limbic brain. This is our brain that forms community. It talks to us about people being friends or foes. It deals with our emotions. That's the part that is also active in the workplace. When you like me, you don't like me, I'm afraid to share, that's the behavior that gets hardwired in the limbic
brain. Spell limbic.
L-I-M-B-I-C. It's where a lot of memories get stored. There's a hippocampus in there. A lot of things that hold memories so that we can remember when we see somebody how they treated us so that we know whether we want to relate to them again. It's fascinating. Okay. The neocortex, most people talk about left brain, right brain. That's the neocortex. Okay. This is where it's our logical reasoning. This is where we figure out strategies. This is where we remember routines.
It's the left side of the brain, isn't it?
Well, the left and the right. But there's new research that says that the left brain... Well, we think of it as logical, and our language brain is really, it's not just left and logical and language. The left brain holds us in a steady state. In other words, it helps us remember what's going on in the present time. That's the now brain. The right brain helps us push towards the future and gives us creative solutions.
So and imagine the possibilities.
And new possibilities. So the right brain is supposed to be the more creative side, and the left one says, don't change, do it the way we've been doing it. Okay.
Okay.
The fifth brain, the newest brain that's been discovered, it's only a couple million billion years old, is called the prefrontal cortex. It's now called the executive brain. It is the executor of the rest of the brain. It's the part of the brain that helps us form judgment. It sends connectors down or wires down to the rest of the brain and tries to collect data as a leader would do in an organization, saying, now that you've all listened to what's going on around us, the senses have picked it up, the thinking has picked it up, what's the best judgment call you need to make? So it coordinates the rest of the brain to take action. It also does this, which you will love. Everybody will love this. It's the part of the brain that has empathy. In other words, if I want to understand you, I have in my brain, in the prefrontal brain, mirror neurons, little neurons, that when you're talking to me and trying to show me how to do something, in my brain, just watching you, I am registering the same brain waves that you are in doing the action. That's how I connect to you.
That's a very human characteristic, isn't it?
It is what makes us most human.
Yes.
It is what we are trying to develop in organizations when we go in and help leaders become better leaders. It's not about the soft stuff, which people used to think, oh, my God, you know, don't talk about feelings, don't talk about emotions. That's too soft, right? You know, you can't make money if you think about your feelings, right? But however, what we're learning is the best leaders have mirror neurons and develop them in their empathy towards the organization. Mm-hmm. And building that in others helps people become a better we.
Well, and it's how you become a leader.
That's right.
Because people want to follow people like that, don't they? I mean, they want, that's how you get people to follow you. You might want to be a leader, but the question is, can you get other people to follow you? We're going to talk about these the five brains a little bit more when we come back after these messages with our good friend Judith Glaser, the author of The DNA of Leadership. Stay with us.
There's a light at the end of the tunnel. I see it burning bright.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. I hope you check those out and use them to your advantage. Judith Glaser is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Judith Glaser, G-L-A-S-E-R, if you're Googling her. She's the author of The DNA of Leadership. And we're talking about the five brains. You gave us four brains, Judith, the reptilian brain, the limbic brain, the neocortex brain, the prefrontal cortex, and there's a fifth one, right?
The fifth one is the one that is so exciting because it's called the heart brain. And who would have ever thought that the heart has anything to do with thinking, right? People say, well, you know, when your heart is playing, you know, you don't know what you're doing. So
I love, there's a country music song, Judy, called I Know What I Was Feeling, But What Was I Thinking?
Right.
And that's when you have a complete disconnect between your heart and your head.
That's right. That's right. And what we're learning now is that the heart brain is really, really smart when it comes to people, because what it's doing is that when you and I are in a room together and we first meet, my heart is trying to connect to your heart. Now, it's not that I want to do it. It's just that I have to do it. That's how our bodies work, right? Okay.
It's the way human beings. It's part of the self-aware trait of human beings, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you become self-aware when you listen to it. You become blind when you don't.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so, it is part of the awareness system in the body. So, say we walk in the room together, and I like you and you like me, instantly we can feel it. Our heartbeats start to sync with each other.
Mm-hmm.
It sends messages up to the brain. There are more fibers that go from the heart to the brain than the other way around.
Wow.
80% more. And this is what's so cool. Listen to this. On the heart, there are receptors. When the chemicals shoot through the body, like your testosterone shooting through your body or my estrogen mm-hmm. is shooting through my body, there are receptors on the heart. 80% of the receptors pick up, are sensitive to the hormones. And so if as I'm in the room with you and my estrogen goes up, my heart feels it first and sends a message to my brain that says, interesting person, right?
So we call that the chemistry, right?
That's the body chemistry. That's right. It's happening because the heart is translating the chemistry. It's a meter. It's called a meter. It's a heart meter. Literally.
Well, what about?
Yeah.
But this happens. I mean, this has happened to you with other women when you just feel connected. You feel like you come away from a meeting with someone, regardless of their gender, and you say, I feel like I've known this person a long time.
Absolutely. Again, there's a lot of reading that goes on back and forth between two people at an unconscious level. The cells are talking. My cells talk to your cells all the time when we're in a room together. And what happens for women is that when we like each other, what's going on is there's a lot of oxytocin. Oxytocin is a bonding hormone that actually mm-hmm. both men and women have. And it again, engages us in better discovering how and why we like each other because it's present. It's called bonding instinct.
Do women have more oxytocin than men do?
What happens is that testosterone in a male overshadows the oxytocin a lot because it's a very strong hormone, right?
So yeah, it's very, very aggressive.
It's an aggressive hormone. It can overshadow the oxytocin, but men have what's called vasopressin, which is their version of oxytocin, and it is present. You just have to mediate it by what you're doing around you. In other words,
I try to get in touch with my feminine side as often as I can, Judy.
And is that good?
Well, it does if I'm around my wife. It works out pretty well. it keeps me in. If I can just get a little bit in touch with my feminine side, it keeps me out of trouble more, Judy.
Go ahead. No, I thought what keeps you out of trouble is telling your wife that she's right all the time.
Oh, I said no. That's right. No, I've said this for years. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. It's my fault. No, that doesn't make you look fat. And yes, honey, I think you should go ahead and get that. Those five things, gentlemen, listen. If you'll learn how to say those five things regularly, you'll have a happy marriage.
Well, you got it.
Yeah, and I don't know which. And at least one of those is associated with the reptilian brain, Judy. I don't know which one. Okay, why is it important for us to differentiate these five brains as we manage our people, as we deal with customers, as we do business in the marketplace?
We now have the ability to make a chart for leaders that say, if you want this result, this is what you do in the environment, because we can now say what kind of things trigger each one of the brains to be active and to produce results. This is hugely mm-hmm. valuable for a leader, because there are times, look, we just came out of the last 50 years in the psychology of human nature, where people are saying everybody's different, you've got to get to know each person for their unique qualities, the strength mm-hmm. movement, you know, and that is true. However, when it comes to the five brains, you and I react the same to threats. In other words, if somebody's taking away my territory, I'm not going to go over there and kiss them and hug them and say thank you very much.
Right.
If somebody's stealing my business, right? I feel
right.
threatened. That reptilian brain is out there saying, protect, protect, mm-hmm. right? So the more leaders can understand what are the activities that trigger each one of the brains, the more they can start shaping the environments consciously and intentionally to bring out the best in their people.
All right, let's see if we can put it on a more of a basic level. Sometimes, okay. and a real application, sometimes as I've gotten older and more gray hair and a lot more knots in my head, Judy, I know that there's an event coming up. I know there's a meeting coming up. Somebody, I'm going to have to deal with something. And maybe it's some, in this particular case, I say to myself in advance, I say, okay, the worst thing you can do in this case is talk too much, but you're going to be motivated to talk too much in this case. But
uh-huh.
but think about it, Jim. Think about it, Blasting Game. Don't talk too much in this particular case, or whatever I'm telling myself. Which brain is telling me that?
Well, that's your neocortex trying to give you advice and guidance, and the prefrontal
yeah.
hoping that you'll believe it.
Well, but then there's the experience thing coming in there. I want you to tie that in when we come back after these messages. 10 till right back with Judy Glazer. I told you we'd get smarter when Judy joined us. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Every day the answer seems more distant.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Judith Glazer, the author of The DNA of Leadership. Judy, give us your website, please. Tell us how we can find you and your book.
Actually, my first book is Creating We, CreatingWe, and that's what we've called our website now, so www.creatingwe.com.
And sorry for not mentioning that earlier. I'm on the road today, and so I don't have all my stuff with me, but I remembered your
okay.
other book.
Okay.
CreatingWe.com, right?
Yep, and also, we have just, I didn't tell you this, we have a Creating We Institute that we've built now with 23 practitioners from around the world and
Congratulations.
Growing. Thank you. And
so
we're studying.
What's the Institute going to do?
The Institute is studying what we're talking about on the show, which is how to better understand who we are as human beings and how to leverage that insight and wisdom in the world, in the workplace, and also in the communities and in the political world that we live in, to
right.
create a much more we-centric world.
So the heart brain is the yeah. brain the brain that helps you connect to other people. The
That's
reptilian
right.
brain is more the aggressive one, fight or flight type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The limbic brain is the one that helps you relate to other people. That's what kind of the notes that I made.
That's
the
right.
neocortex brain is where the logic is. That's the left side of the brain.
And the right, and the creative.
And the right, but the two parts of the brain there,
mm-hmm.
the left side is more logical, the right side is more imaginative
yes.
and creative. And then the prefrontal cortex, which is kind of the quarterback of all that, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do is try to teach leaders how to get us out of that reptilian brain, because what happens is too much in organizations, we're fighting with each other over resources. We're fighting with each other over status. We're fighting with each other over who's smarter.
Right.
Right? And
the reptilian brain is the one that puts up the silos and builds the fiefdoms and says us versus them.
That's correct. And so leaders need to learn what I call the new language of leadership, where even though those things exist and people are fighting, and I just came out of a meeting this week. It was a hot and heavy meeting that this organization has been having for so long about who's more important, quality or manufacturing or R&D. It's a pharmaceutical company.
Right.
When we got people in the room together to look at their language and see how I-centric their language was, the I is protecting everything. And saying, as leaders, if they want to change the organization and move those 800 people forward together to collaborate, they're the ones that have to say, wait a minute, this is about us. This isn't about us and them. This is about all of us together working. That language, just hearing a leader say that, shifts the person who's listening in their brain all of a sudden from out of the reptilian into thinking, oh, my God, the limbic, how do we do this together? And then once you pass out of the reptilian brain, you are now free to explore all of these wonderful, creative, innovative options.
Mm-hmm.
Leaders need that language to lift people. Instead of saying, oh, we can't do it, oh, my God, there's so much conflict, and thinking that the past is going to drive the future, leaders need to do what's called a pattern interrupt on themselves. In the moment, we call it. It's called pattern interrupt. And just notice, is it an I language that's happening or we? And if you want to shape the future for we, just say it. I'm telling you, just do it. And Nike was right.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it and watch what happens in the room. People's eyes open up, and all of a sudden, their attentional system, and that's another part of the brain called the RAS, that it's what we pay attention to. That system triggers the brain to say, oh, my God, something's shifting. And as soon as you can release that and put to sleep, you give them drugs. You say, reptilian brain, go to sleep now for the next 24 hours. I don't need you anymore. And you
Let
will
me
watch.
Ask you
yeah, go ahead.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've learned from my Brain Trust members, specifically Arkie C. and Cuddy and a couple of others, is the importance of trust in all of this. What part, what brain, where does trust emanate from? Where does it reside, so to speak, the ability to trust and be trusted? Which brain is that?
It is... Trusting is the most important and essential thing in organizations for people.
You can't have we without trust.
You can't have we without trust. In fact, when they do assessments, and I have a colleague who spent 30 years assessing the top 20 qualities of leaders, and independent of 10 years ago or 20 years ago, the same thing continues to rise to the top, and that's that ability to be trusted, to have integrity, and to be trusted.
Yeah.
And it fits, like 90% of the people pick that. The problem is you can't dictate trust. Trust comes from all of those brains working together and saying, I'm watching these people in front of me. Are these people saying something that I can believe, and are they doing what they say they're going to do, or do they maliciously go behind people's back, and are they not to be trusted? The human brain, that's when the five brains are talking the best, is when they're trying to sort out whether trust is present in that other human being.
And trust is going to be more evident when the reptilian brain is more silent, isn't it?
That's correct, because what that brain is looking for, whatever it fears, it fires up and it tells us, don't trust.
I agree with that. Hey, Judith, give us the website one more time, please.
Okay, www.creatingwe.com.
Thank you, Judith. Judith Glazer, ladies and gentlemen. Judith, we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Great to be back, and look forward to the next one.
Me too. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.